Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Dr. John Diamond. This is the show America Unhinged, where we are fervently patriotic and unapologetically Christian. Please join me over at AmericaUnhingedRadio.com. At the very least, please go there and download that free ebook, An Appeal to Heaven, Cry for Divine Justice. It was written as an educational tool after all the many, many years of research that I did on American history and the founding, and bringing the theological aspect and the theological understanding that the founding fathers had. I think one thing that we do in America is we have a tendency of looking back rather than placing ourselves in 1770 and saying, hey, here's a Declaration of Independence. Here's a Constitution. Where did they get all these ideas from? So I kind of attack that in a different way than a lot of constitutional scholars do. So please download that free ebook. It's there on both audio and as a PDF version. So we're in the middle of Faith Week, and I look forward to our next couple guests. We'll be right back after this break.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history. And they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. We are in the middle of FACE Week. You can find that at FACE.net. That stands for Foundations for American Christian Education. I was talking to our couple guests here in the pre-show, and when I have guests on, usually I know what they're saying or what they're going to say, is, you know, because it's why I brought them on. Very rarely do I get schooled by the people that I bring on, and that is one thing that Carrie has certainly brought to the table, is the level of understanding and the level of study and the level of education and commitment to educating the next generation has just blown me away this week. It's really all I think about, even when I go home and contemplate, you know, everything that I personally learned here. So we got a couple couple more good guests for you today, and I just look forward to what they have to say. I'm going to start off just by reminding you, Dr. Alan Keyes is available for speaking engagements. So if you want to reach out to us at imtv.us, we'll make that happen. He's in New Mexico presently, took a three-day drive out, a three-day drive back. So we look forward to him coming back to his show next Monday. I'm going to start off with two scripture verses, both from Psalm 78. I'd like to read the whole thing, actually, but for time, we'll just read verses 1 and verses 4. Psalm 78, 1 says this, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." Now, down in verse 4, it says, "We will not hide them from our children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done." Now, if you've read both of my books, Appeal to Heaven and Finding the Next American Revolution, we really delve into the idea of separation of church and state. Look at what America used to be like before 1960s, when the communists basically put their doctrine into our Constitution. And this is what America was. The Word of God was read every day. It was taught every day. Prayer was in school every day from the time the Mayflower landed until this really communist coup took over in the early 60s. And that's the one thing that we really have to understand. This is not just bad rulings. This is a very, very intentional, deliberate things to separate us from God, according to Psalms 2. You know, the kings of the earth and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ. That's the central theme of my Appeal to Heaven book. So again, please go there and download that. Just remember, the next generation is so very, very important. And as fathers and grandparents and mothers, we have to understand that. We have to understand that our founding fathers understood posterity. They understood laying their lives down for the sake of the next generation. That is what a true mother and father really does. They care more about their children than their own selfish endeavors. And it's really that type of, you know, lives are fortunes and our sacred honor that it's going to take to save this generation going forward. So I have Dr. Max Lyons with us today. I was reading his bio, and it almost was like reading mine. Teacher, curriculum writer, conference speaker, specializing in the area of Bible history, government law, economics, and biblical worldview. Well, the one thing he has on me is economics, because economics is absolutely not in my wheelhouse, but all those other things are. So, Dr. Lyons, welcome to the program.
Well, John, thanks for having me on. I'm blessed, and I think we're definitely, when I met you, I felt an instant rapport. We're definitely kindred spirits.
And that's what I found with everybody we've had on from Face Week. So that's why I love it when Carrie, we started with Public School Exit Week last year, and that's how I met Carrie. So we've been trying to get people out of the public schools. But now, of course, the next phase of that is, okay, we've convinced people to get out. Now what do we do? And that's what you and our next guest brings to the table. So from my understanding, you serve as the Director of Teaching Services at Face. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I'm kind of the boots on the ground guy. So if you're a homeschooler, a Christian school teacher, administrator, looking to start a school, you know, all of the above, internationals. I got a pastor calling me from Ghana. I work with people in South America. I mean, Face is an international ministry. Our largest network of principal approach schools is in Brazil. You probably have heard that. So yeah, I'm the practitioner, and work with a fabulous team here at Face, and we're just here to serve.
Without a doubt. And that's the one thing that I've been learning is, and you know, it's one thing. I mean, I got four boys between 8 and 15, and I was committed not to put them in the public schools long before they were ever, long before I was married. Be honest with you, as a theologian, I wasn't going to indoctrinate them in that stuff. And it was always my intention just to make sure they're in either a Christian school or a home school. And I've learned so much from all your people this week that there's, you know, sometimes not a lot of difference between a Christian school and a public school, you know, as far as incorporating a biblical worldview into things. So Dan Smithwick was on Tuesday talking about this stuff. But what you guys are bringing to the table is really, really next level. I mean, it is next level. We have a Christian school here, K through 6, and then my kids go into a Christian co-op. But what you guys are bringing to the table is something that I want to promote as much as I possibly can. Carrie, I mean, the fact that you're teaching teachers, that's what we need. It's not enough for me to just rescue my children from the public schools and let the rest of them get indoctrinated with the, you know, satanic teachings that they're getting today. But the fact that your organization is actually training teachers is what is so encouraging to me.
Yes, sir. If we got, before I go to the teacher part, if I could reflect on your Psalm 78 for just a second, because it ties in. It really struck me, that phrase, we will not hide them from our children. And, you know, our children are under assault today like never before. And you know, you have four children. I have four children, eight grandchildren. And I tell people all the time, one reason I'm so passionate about what I'm doing is posterity. And it's not just my children, but it's children, you know, everywhere and all over the world. And I just think how God's heart must be grieving right now with not only what the children are getting, what we're force feeding into them, as far as the bad stuff, but also hiding the good stuff from them. Because, you know, a Christian education, a biblically based education, a principal approach education, if you will, because I do believe it's the best, and that's why I'm committed to it, is the birthright of every child. It's, you know, this isn't something just for the elite or a few people. You know, God wants every child to, you know, to have an excellent education and discipleship process and to be taught everything from God's perspective. You know, that's the birthright of every child. And that really is our passion here at FACE. You know, Verna and Rose, starting with Verna and Rosalie and now Carol Adams, the child, the Christian idea of the child and reaching the child's made in God's image, and every child really deserves, from their parents, not the government, by the way, from their parents and guardians and, you know, ones that have, God has given stewardship over them, deserves this kind of education.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I focus a lot on is discipleship. And the thing that I've come to learn is, you know, one thing that I've been crying out for years is discipleship doesn't happen in the church. It just does not happen. They don't hire discipleship ministers or education ministers. And it really kind of boggled my mind for many years until I realized that discipleship is actually supposed to be happening in the formative years, in the K through 12 years. That's where discipleship is supposed to be, you know, and it's supposed That's to right. be in the schools. And That's so right. you'll hear the secularists say, well, you know, the Bible doesn't belong in the school. You can just teach that in your church. And a lot of Christian parents have bought into that nonsense also. I mean, the Word of God is supposed to be in front of our face, you know, write the law and put it in the frontlet of your eyes. The Word of God right. is supposed to be in front. We're supposed to meditate on it day and night. It's not supposed to be 45 minutes on Sunday morning, you know, and then 40 minutes of secular antichrist type of stuff, the rest 40 hours. It's insane that we've bought into that lie, is it not?
Yeah, that's right. You know, going back to teachers now, if we want the child to have a biblical worldview, if we want the child to be discipled in Christ, if we want them to have the character of Christ, if we want them to be everything that God has designed for them to be, then guess what? It's got to start with us. So FACE approaches this process from a different angle, in that we realize that the parents out there and the teachers out there and the pastors out there, those that are doing the education and the discipleship, that they need to get this first. And the reality is, you know, most of us don't have it. I mean, teachers coming to our Christian schools or homeschooling parents, they haven't had this type of education. So the process starts with the parents, and hey, the grandparents too. They're actually a big part of the process of the education of a lot of children. So the analogy I like is the one we, if you've flown, you've, you know, heard the script about the, if you lose air pressure, you know, that the mask comes down, and they say, put the mask on yourself instead of on the child, because the inclination of any parent would be to get the mask on the child, right? But if you do that and you pass out, you can't help your child or anyone else. So I think that's a good analogy for us. We as teachers and parents and pastors, we need to get the biblical worldview that we weren't trained in. I mean, I was, you know, my education was totally secular high school, college. It wasn't until I got to my master's degree at Regent University that I had any idea what a biblical view of science or history or government. It was finally dawning upon me for the first time. And here I was, you know, in my 20s. And it took me, you know, a couple of decades after that, I feel, to really get my own Christian education. So FACE approaches, you know, the biblical education of our children by first getting it into the teachers and the parents and others that come for our training. We have a certification program, which I'd be happy to talk about, which starts with a foundations course. That is our beginning and a kind of deep dive into biblical worldview. It's not just for teachers, because anyone, frankly, any Christian could benefit from this, unless you went through a principal approach school and already have a biblical worldview. There's very few of those. So we realize, you know, that even teachers in Christian schools, they need to be retrained. They need to learn the biblical worldview. Dan Smithwick might have shared with you the statistic on what the average Pearce test score for a teacher in a Christian school was. It's on a scale of 1 to 100. It's 40. That's the average teacher in a Christian school, not public school or anywhere else, in a Christian school. So that's at the low range of a moderate Christian worldview. So, you know, Luke 6:40 says a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he's been fully trained is like his teacher. So if the teachers are at 40, what do you think the average child is or student is in the school? Well, it's about 18. So if we want the children to have a biblical worldview, which we all agree that's the purpose of a Christian education, we all agree with that. We don't agree necessarily with the method of getting there, but we agree that that's the purpose. Well, then guess what? The teachers have to have a biblical worldview and be using a biblical, not only philosophy of education, but biblical curriculum and biblical methodology. And that's where the principal approach really, really shines.
Yeah, well, Dan sent me a complimentary copy of the Pearce test that I'm going to take myself, and I'm kind of like, oh boy, where am I going to rank, you know? But my two oldest are 15 and 13, and I'm going to make sure I give them the test this summer, and just to kind of find out where they rank, because again, it's a tool, you know. Where are we falling short? What do we need to know? That's right. I mean, I've given my life to studying this stuff, but I'm pretty sure there's a whole lot of, loopholes or blind spots in my own thinking that need to be. So, I mean, would you recommend that first is just for every kind of parent and grandparent and teacher to take the peer test first just to see where they rank and then come to you guys for where do I go next?
I would recommend that. It's kind of like a worldview checkup, kind of like going to your doctor, get an exam, and then you find out, hey, you're hoping everything is going to be okay, but if it's not, you'd like to know so you could, you know, make some corrections. Probably going to have to do some more work on our lifestyle issues. But yes, the Pearce test is a good place to start, and then you can go from there. It might show that you're weak in economics and or you're weak in your biblical understanding of education. It doesn't test every area. But it tests the ones that are really important for one's worldview, government, education, economics, social issues, et cetera. And you can do that at the Nehemiah Institute website. Dan's is working on getting it fully automated and bringing into the latest technology. So there's going to be a rollout in the fall where it's going to be a lot more user-friendly. But that's a good tool, absolutely.
Yeah, I want to use that as an assessment tool for my own knowledge, and then for my kids too. You know, one of the things that I think you guys are bringing to the table, and really Christian education as I'm studying, is, you know, as a theologian, I've understood a biblical worldview as a theologian. I understand what the Bible talks about government, which is what a lot of pastors don't. But the fact that you guys are talking economics, and, you know, our co-op teacher does a great job, and they were doing algebra, and algebra from a biblical worldview, and that was just blowing my mind, because I don't equate algebra and a biblical worldview. I just think that they're two things that are so separate. But to go over there and help, you know, once a week with my kids homeschool, and to see what they're being taught, it's really expanded my own knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, yes, I've actually written a book on economics entitled Free Men and Free Markets, and the intersection of government and economics is something that we should all understand, because free men, men that are walking with liberty, do operate every part of their life, you know, in a free area, and we should have a free market. That's God's design for economics, and that's an area that principal approach really shines in. We teach a philosophy of government that starts with the idea of Christian self-government, which used to be universally understood in this country. You know, our founders all believed in it, Christian or non-Christian or in between. They universally believed in the idea that God designed us to govern ourselves under His government and His law. We're not talking about anarchy or just, you know, no government at all. We as biblically thinking Christians, we believe in government. We just believe in the right amount. We believe in God's design for government and not what it's become. So we teach our children this from, you know, from the time they could understand, you know, anything from our mouth. So obviously parents, you know, we expect parents to teach this. And again, we used to do this quite well in our nation, but it's one of those fundamental truths that's just been totally lost. So, by the way, in that regard, we view the education not just of the child, but of the family. And you probably have heard this already, because, you know, we're training multiple generations. So what FACE does, what I do, I tell people all the time, you know, age doesn't matter. The programs and services and the methodology that we have is for any age child, is also for any setting, you know, the home, the church, the school, those are all settings, but education is taking place all the time. And with the internet, it's kind of ubiquitous now. But we serve, you know, and have products for people. A lot of our programs are frankly about adult education, because we're the ones that need to get it. The children will get it if we get it. And if we quit hiding the truths of God from them, but learn them ourselves so we can impart them to the next generation, that's the key.
Yeah, that is the key. And as I look back, I was raised the same as you, just a secular education. And there was no economics in my public school. There was, matter of fact, my 12th grade government class, there wasn't even government. All we taught, all the lady taught was, she was a liberal left wing, you know, and all she taught was psychology. We're not learning government. We're learning Sigmund Freud and the id and just, I mean, all this nonsense for an entire semester. So the fact that we are so ignorant as a people, and I'm including myself in this is not, I'm not slinging mud at people. I'm just saying our government has very intentionally dumbed us down from biblical worldview. They just want a bunch of worker bees that don't know that they're being enslaved for, you know, for a lack of better thing. So if we're going to save this republic, if we're going to turn this around, it's going to have to be a whole re-education, not just of our children, but of our parents and grandparents.
Yes, sir. That's right. Absolutely. So our two signature programs for beginning to train and understand biblical worldview are the Renewing the Mind course, which Brenda is going to be talking about in the second segment here. That is a 10-week online, live online with Brenda teaching, and with a small cohort of other educators, like-minded people that study together. In depth, very accessible, very inexpensive. I'll let her share the details on that later. But then the foundations course, which is coming up soon, we're teaching it twice this year because of the demand here. First of all, we'll be teaching it here in Chesapeake, just a couple miles from the FACE headquarters and Stonebridge School, one of our demonstration schools for the principal approach. So that's coming up June 26th through July 1st. We culminate with a Christian history field study. And you will, if you've been to Jamestown and Williamsburg and Yorktown, you need to come back and get a tour from a providential perspective, because it will be completely different from anything you've ever heard. So that course ends with a wonderful all-day Christian history field study of the historic triangle there, which is just, you know, an hour away. And then we'll be teaching the foundations course down in Tyler, Texas, which is one of our at one of our principal approach schools down there, Christian Heritage School, and that will be July 31st through August 4th. So this is all day, every day for 5 days. I call it just a deep dive into not teaching yet, because you got to lay a foundation before we can get into the teaching. We obviously talk about teaching and give you models, but we start with, what is the biblical worldview? Why is it important? We give you the Peirce test before you take the course, and we interpret those scores, and then we help you with now what can I do? And we individualize that, because every person is going to be different. We do a deep dive into, you know, what is a principle, what is a providential view of history? How does that differ from a Marxist view of history, what we're seeing now in our nation, this whole hate America curriculum, and it's really just Marxism. You know, we look into what a biblical philosophy of government is. What is this whole idea of Christian self-government? How does that differ from you know, what it's turned in today, which is really statism? It's, again, it's the opposite of the way God designed things. But this helps you understand why, you know, what's going on in our culture right now, because you understand those underlying governmental principles. So we've got a team of 10 master teachers if you come here to Chesapeake, and it's a fantastic week. It's a life-changing week.
I love it. That's exactly what we need today. So Dr. Lyons, I appreciate all you're doing. I look forward to working with you here in the future.
Well, thanks so much, John. Thank you for what you're doing.
God bless. All right, God.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package: emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because, of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts. And the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement, and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks. This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com. At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrighteonStore.com.
In today's modern world, knowing what you put in your body is crucial for maintaining optimal overall health. Many conventional health products claim to be good for you, but they may be contaminated with heavy metals, artificial chemicals, and toxins that could harm your health. Here at BrighteonStore.com, we believe your health and safety are our top priority. That's why we always go above and beyond to bring you the cleanest and highest quality nutritional supplements, superfoods, storable foods, preparedness items, and more. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. We are on the Thursday session of Face Week, and we've had a lot of great speakers on all this week, and look forward to tomorrow also. This goes quick because we can have great conversations for hours with the guests that I have on. So we're going to bring on Dr. Brenda McMenamin, and you can find her at teachinghistory.com. And she has, I've been looking over her stuff, you know, for about 2 days now, a lot of great courses, Renewing the Mind, Foundation courses. So I'll let her tell you about it. Brenda, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here with you. I'm very inspired by the books that you've written and the conversation that's been had. It's just wonderful getting to know you.
Well, I knew we were going to see eye to eye when I opened up your website. If the producer can put up teachinghistory.com, the very first thing I saw on that page was the American flag with the cross, and then it says, therefore, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the World. I knew we were going to see eye to eye, or we were going to have a great, great conversation.
Yeah, yeah. It is exciting to see what God's doing now, isn't it? Where it seems for the last, I know for me personally, the last four decades, there's been so much repentance and some finger pointing with that. But it just seems like God's raising up a new breed. It's a new season. People want to get active. That repentance is becoming live, where we want solutions. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah, it is. And one of the things I've been teaching, just from a biblical standpoint, not necessarily historical, is on reformations and how these reformations come throughout history. I mean, Christ led a reformation because they were so stuck in their traditions that, you know, they had no idea what they're doing. Everything was broke. Government was broken. The temple was broken. The synagogues were broken. Everything was broken. So, I mean, Jesus kind of led, you know, the first really reformation of the faith. And then you have the Protestant Reformation come along and kind of did the same thing. And this is where we really get Christian education from, which is a lot of people don't teach that. The Protestant Reformation, you know, basically said, hey, we got to teach everybody to read so they can all read the Bible and not be, you know, led astray by these false religious leaders. And so here we are today. We had an education system that was pretty good until the kind of the Marxists and Dewey and all them started infiltrating things, you know, a century ago. You are teaching a course right now, I saw online, and I really want to take this, Renewing the Mind. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. And that's through FACE. That's their course.
Okay.
And so for only $40, you buy the book, and the 10-week course comes with that. It's online, live, but then it's also on demand later for those that maybe, you know, I kind of mix it up when I offer it, but it's almost continually offered. There's two different times. If you go to teachinghistory.com and look for RTM, Renewing the Mind, the two times that it's offered are there. And then it's got the people that have taken it, if you scroll down, and what they had to say about it. And what you'll find is that there's so much diversity in the people that are coming into this. I've been able to teach people across the nations, not just Americans, which has been amazing and really faith building. And then there's been homeschoolers, public school teachers, private school teachers, people that are starting schools, people that are, you know, at the administrators and principals. And so you're seeing this diversity of what God's doing. And what I get the most excited about is that if we can equip all these different people, no matter what phase of life they're in, no matter what sphere of influence they have, with a biblical worldview and methodology, then the body of Christ will unite. And that's going to be the devil's worst nightmare.
You're absolutely right. And I remember when I started teaching this stuff, we talked there in the break, you know, Max Lyons also does a biblical worldview course at his church. When I started teaching this in my church as a Sunday school, my pastor pulled me aside and he said, I don't know what you're teaching in there, but you got people coming to Sunday school class that haven't been there in 30 years. And I'm like, well, a lot of these guys were raised in the church. How often can they hear the Moses story or the Noah story? You know, they wake up in the morning. It's like, look, I know all these stories. I was raised for 30 years in the church. So we really need to start expanding our ministries and our missions to incorporate a biblical worldview, a theological worldview of government, of family. I mean, all of this stuff is the stuff that needs to be taught.
Yeah. And you know what's exciting is that as we're teaching teachers to teach each subject from the Word of God, then the students are learning that. But the way, the methodology is we're teaching the teachers and the students to go to the Word of God and search for principles in that subject, deduce principles, and then seek the Lord as to how to apply them. So it's doing the word. It's continually, every day, every lesson, teaching these students how to be doers of the word. And what I found, because I got to homeschool my four children, and now they're married, they're having their families, I can watch them go to the Word of God, deduce principles, and apply them to their marriage, to their finances, to their child training. And I feel like this is what's been missing from the body of Christ.
Yeah, certainly. And the one thing I really appreciate, you know, from God is my calling as a teacher, because as a teacher, you got to study, right? You got to delve into it yourself before you can teach anybody else. And that's the thing that I've really found fascinating as I got my master's in theology and then my doctorate in Christian education. But the subset is with an emphasis on research and writing. So my call is basically do the research, write it, and then use that to teach others. And that's why I feel such a great kinship to everybody that's a part of your program there is these are people that love the subject that they're, you know, a lot of people don't want to read history. They don't want to read economics. It's boring, but it's absolutely necessary, which is why I say it has to be done K through 12, because society understands that this is a time of life that's carved out for learning. If not, you got to do like me and Max, and you got to do self-study in your later years and teach yourself stuff you've never been taught before.
And that's the hard part for people, because they see what's wrong. And especially with COVID and everything that happened, we got immersed in understanding what's really going on. And so that kind of has put a deep repentance and a panic. But for people, it's overwhelming. And so when you have the emphasis of your educational model being focused on the mighty deeds of God, which you're talking about in Psalm 78, you're teaching your children the mighty deeds of God in every subject. So every subject has a guide, and they have these at face. They've published these. So they go into the scripture, they go into the timeline of what God has done in each subject. And then they have just practical ways to teach that subject. And so we get to learn the mighty deeds of God in every subject. So your faith gets built. And it's so important. I mean, you look at these children and the suicide rate has skyrocketed, and they're just ripping their innocence away and their hope away. And yet when you teach the mighty deeds of God, the word says in Psalm 78, so they have faith in God and hope to obey his commands. And so you see these students coming in, they haven't had a good education. They teach us through these guides how to meet them where they are. I always assign essays to my high school students. I focus on high school. And most of them don't know how to write an essay. They've never been taught. So you have to teach them. And this is why I started with the English guide. I'm raising up a team in my church. We're starting with the English guide so that they can learn how to do these keyword studies. So you're looking at the word, let's say marriage, from, they have an 1980 definition here, which is not bad. And then they go into the 1828, which uses scripture to define the words. But then you go on dictionary.com or one of these, you know, modern, and the definition is appalling.
Yeah, yeah.
It's against the word of God. And so, but what we're teaching our students is to reclaim our language word at a time, one word at a time, looking them up in the 1828, finding out what the word of God says. But then we're teaching them how to write a good sentence, how to write a good paragraph, and then they can write good essays. But they help us meet the students where they are, meet the teachers where they are, and then go forward. So it's tremendously vital to reforming education.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I appreciate the fact that you talk about reclaiming everything one word at a time, because I didn't really apply it to education as much as I did theology for many years, you know, because we have the same problem in like discipleship when people say, you know, we're saved by grace through faith. You know, what does faith mean? What does grace mean? What does salvation mean? If you don't understand those words, you're not going to understand the scripture and what it's trying to say. It's the exact same thing with any education, like you're saying, marriage, or I mean, I've used the 1828 dictionary for 20 years. I had no idea that you guys were the ones that did it. But I mean, I've been using that for years to go back and try to understand the way the founding fathers thought. For example, Constitution. I looked up the word Constitution. It's simply saying, you know, a structure of rules used to govern something. But it says the New Testament is the Constitution of modern society. You're not going to find that in a new dictionary.
That's fantastic. I'll have to look that up. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I said in my book. I'm like, our government was supposed to be guided by two constitutions. The United States Constitution was to keep the government in a box, and the New Testament was to keep the people, the individual people, in a box of what we can and cannot do. And the Constitution is what they can and cannot do. If we re-implement those two policies, we'll get right back very quickly to where we're supposed to be as a nation.
That's so important. When you look at Samuel Adams, when he wrote, what was it? Natural Rights of the Colonist. And then as Christians, he says, read the New Testament. So it's in our documents. It's, you know, the founding fathers taught us this. And you touched on this, but I find a lot of people, intellectuals, they either ignore the founding fathers or they denigrate them. And when you start learning things from a providential perspective, you realize that our founding fathers had founding fathers. And then you see what God has done in history. And so it gives God the glory instead of idolizing the founders. And they're wonderful men. We want to learn from them. But I think it really builds our faith to find out that the founding fathers had founding fathers, and we can learn from them. And as you're talking about, then when we see this chaos and destruction in our own culture, we know what we can do. We see the solutions. We can go back and read their writings and apply them to today. And it's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. And I love that fact that you said that. I've never heard it put that way, that the founding fathers had founding fathers. And I'm working with Alex Newman. I'm sure you guys all know Alex Newman, on a kind of history textbook that starts clear back at, you know, the Hebrew Republic, or actually in the garden, and goes forward. And he said, I really want to write on the Great Awakenings, because a lot of people don't understand the effect that the Great Awakenings had on the founding fathers. You know, he said the founding fathers were standing on the shoulder of the people in the Great Awakening. So you coined that phrase very well. The founding fathers had founding fathers. And if you go back and study what the founding fathers of the founding fathers said, you're going to get a whole lot better biblical worldview than just studying the Constitution.
Yes. And was it Wycliffe? We hear that phrase a lot, especially from Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln, where the government is of the people, by the people, and for the people. But was it Wycliffe that said the Bible is for the government, of the people, by the people, and for the people? And so we realize the Bible is the foundation. So we have to be taught literally to go back to the Bible, to start the, that it is solid. You know, I think of when I grew up in New York, how you, you know, you'd see people walk on the ice, but you'd have to wait till it's thick enough. And, you know, it's like really thin and you'd fall through. That's how it's been for me, realizing you can go to the Bible for everything, because I was an engineer. I'm like, well, I don't see partial differential equations in there. But as you study it more and you realize everything that God leads us into, the principles start in the Bible. And so it becomes solid ground under our feet. And we realize that God, to me, learning every subject and going to God for every issue in the Bible makes me just fall in love with Him. Mm-hmm. More and more, every subject, every problem that Satan throws at us, we realize my God has the solution.
Yeah, and one of the things that I found in my own personal life when I started reading the Founding Fathers, and this is why I love what you said about reclaiming everything word by word. I'm reading our Founding Fathers, and here I am. I realize I couldn't even define most of these words. I didn't know what tyranny was, despotism, usurpation, oligarchy. I had no idea what those words meant. So once I knew the definition of the word, then it really opened up everything else. And I'm like, wait a minute, we're living under an oligarchy. Wait a minute, this is tyranny. Wait, this is despotism. But you got to understand the words first, right? So a constitution, again, I'll just read it because I didn't want to misquote that dictionary. Constitution, a system of fundamental principles for the government of rational and social beings. All right, and then it says the New Testament is the moral constitution of modern society. I mean, that nails it right there. And that's from your own, you know, Webster's 1828 dictionary.
I love it. I love it. So as teachers come to us, it's kind of overwhelming to them. And what was really eye-opening to me is when the public school teachers come, and even though they're Christians, you realize that they haven't been given the vision at all. Mm-hmm. To seek God, to read His word and apply that in the classroom. And so as we can reach even them, even if they stay there, they then have a biblical vision of what Reformation looks like. Mm-hmm. Instead of just blindly, I think so. It's so easy to say, well, they're doing this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. But no matter where God's placed us, to be able to have the vision of this is what a biblical philosophy of education looks like. This is what a biblical methodology looks like. And then they can start being used by God to reform wherever they are.
Yeah, yeah. And I really try to hate to tell anybody, you know, hey, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be a public school teacher. You got to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. But I think a lot of people that are teachers are starting to realize that, you know, the divide is going to get worse. Remember, Jesus even said that when He comes back, there's only going to be two groups, the wheat and the tares, sheep and the goats. And there is a major divide happening right now. And public school teachers are realizing that they're being made to compromise, you know, their integrity, their morality, you know, sinfulness and everything else. And they're being pushed into a corner. Hey, praise God. Push them right in back into the Christian sphere. You know, we need all these Christian teachers to come out of that Babylonian system and then begin using their training and their skills and their love for children to reestablish these schools, just like the Stonebridge school we had yesterday. I would love to see the abandonment of public education in all these little communities across the nation and a parallel education system rise up. But it is going to take, one, it's going to take sacrifice on all of our parts, churches and individuals, pastors, mothers, grandparents, and then it's going to take training that you guys offer to make sure that foundation is laid correctly.
Well, I'm really amazed at how many young adults are coming into my classes and sharing that they didn't even realize it was their responsibility to teach their children. And whether they homeschool or whether they delegate that to a truly Christian school is up to them. But it was an eye-opener to them that it wasn't the state's responsibility to raise the child, but that's all our culture's telling them. And so, right. That's a milestone in and of itself, is just reaching the parents and encouraging them. No, God will anoint you. you do have this responsibility. Yes, you will stand in front of Jesus Christ all by yourself and give an account right. for how your children were raised, but not in a condemning way, but we are literally here to help you, to equip you, to come alongside you. And FACE is just, everything they do reaches out and meets you where you are to equip you for that, the work of the ministry.
I love it. I love it. So we do definitely want to remind everybody to go to FACE.net. I mean, a lot of the speakers we have may have their own websites and their own things that going on. So FACE.net is absolutely the hub that you need to go to. Brenda, can you tell the people where to find you and your website again, please?
It's Teaching His Story. So that's two S's, not history, like you said, His Story. .com. And so I have classes for high school students, principal approach. My first one is Ancient History Using the Bible, which is really fun with the high school students. They come in, a lot of them, they don't know their true providential history. And we start in the Bible. So it is really a fun class. And so I've got high school classes. I've got Renewing the Mind. And then I've also got, and this is a new project, but I found it incredibly well received. I'm going through each one of the guides. And so if you just go to the website and then go to the tab that says guides.
Perfect. Yeah. And we'll put that in the description. Appreciate having you on today. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you. See everybody else tomorrow.